If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 12 this evening. 1 Kings chapter 12. The fatal division of the kingdom of Israel now into two nations, the north and the south, is coming now to pass from a foolish decision by Solomon, son of Rehoboam. Now, however, the tribes of Israel that separated had a long history of antagonism already and had threatened for many years to split Israel into two. But as I was reading the last verses of chapter 11, if you have your Bible, turn to chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse 41 and 42 and 43. He says, "Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place." Now go to chapter 11, verse 1. "But King Solomon loved many foreign women," he says, "as well as daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites, and from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, 'You shall not intermarry with them, nor shall they be with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods,' and Solomon clung to those in love." You know, it's pretty amazing. It's like I just kind of went back this week, just kind of rethinking Solomon's philosophy as a father, as a king, and watching not only the way he began his life in ministry, in 1 Kings, where he's asking God for wisdom in chapter 3. And because he's so simple in asking God just for wisdom, God says, "I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you everything that your heart desires." And as God entrusts him with so much, and as Solomon then stick to the word of God, but he began to deviate from the word of God and disobey the word of God by taking upon himself women that were not godly women, women that worshiped other gods. That as Solomon had other children, they became infected by their father and by their mothers. Instead of Solomon leading his house and leading the nation in a godly way, he brought the nation of Israel downward. And that will happen to anybody in any house when you don't put God first in your life. Solomon started well, but it didn't finish well. Good lesson to learn from each one of us individually. Why do I say that? Because Solomon gave so much counsel. If you read the Proverbs, I mean, in the Proverbs, he gives great counsel to his children about the warnings of having women overtaking your life and committing adultery, committing fornication, and going after whorish women. And then he talks about only keeping your wife sexually and staying together with her. Yet somehow, Solomon got infected and infected everybody else that was under him concerning his sin. Sin has a great, great penalty and great consequences. Not only in the first generation, but it goes into the second, and into the third, unto the fourth, and unto the fifth and sixth generations, if it's not stopped. The Bible says, "Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap." And now that Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam is going to be taking over the kingdom, and Rehoboam does not serve the Lord Jehovah God. Now, how can that happen? How can a person that gives their lives to the Lord have children that are not out in the world? Drinking, drugs, partying, fornicating, stealing, doing everything that any heathen would ever do in their lives. And maybe tonight there are some of you here that find yourself in that place where maybe you have a daughter or a son that not only many, many years ago before they became teenagers and young adults, you were faithful in giving to them the Word of God and praying with them. But all of a sudden, as they become young adults and, you know, they leave home, they start to make their own choices because you can't lord over them. Why? Because God has made them like you with a will. They have to make choices. And sometimes when kids do not make wise choices, when they have godly mothers and fathers and they make the wrong decisions, guess what? They reap the consequences of it. And as a parent and as a grandparent, you hate it. Because it hurts you. Because if you've lived long enough, you know where they're heading. You know what's going to happen. You know the next chapter. Because you've been there. And you've experienced it. And you know exactly what's going to take place. But somehow you cannot communicate this to young people. They have to live it out themselves. Because many times young people will come along and say, oh, well, you know, my parents are too old. They don't know. I can remember my kids. You know, and it's amazing how, you know, as you get a little bit older and you watch your kids and you watch them make their mistakes, it breaks your heart because it does hurt them tremendously. And then the biggest hurt comes when someone loses a child that hasn't been walking with the Lord. That is really a heartbreaker. Because they've made the choice of the world. I've had to do many funerals, and some of these funerals, the parents will come to me and say, my son or my daughter died in a crash and they were drunk driving. Or they were on drugs. And they began to kind of share with me if I would just, you know, a little bit manipulate my words and say that they're in heaven. I can't do that with a good conscience. Number one, because I don't know if they ask for forgiveness at the last moment or if they didn't. Then they're spending the rest of their eternity in a place where most people don't want to go. Yes, parents and sons and daughters do perish, even when they have grown up in the house of the Lord. That's the tragedy that takes place. And many times parents try to blame themselves, and yet we forget that those children have a will. And they have to make a choice. Just like you. And just like me. That was Jeroboam. He made the choice not to follow the Lord Jehovah God. He made the decision to bring a split in the kingdom. He made a choice, and you'll see in a moment, to take the counsel of the young instead of taking the counsel of the elderly that knew what they were talking about, and it cost him his kingdom. He had to pay dearly. That's why the Bible is given to us. Why? Because the things that are written in here are for our examples, that if we read it, we will learn. to make the right decisions in life. Because if you don't, it's going to cost you tremendously. It's going to cost you not only in time to come, but even in the present time, it can really cost you tremendously. Solomon should have listened to the Lord. But then Solomon, as you read the book of Proverbs, you read about all of the wisdom that he gave to his children. And then when you come to the book of the Song of Solomon, you read of the wisdom of Solomon as he writes to a husband and to a wife and the beautiful picture of Christ in the church. And then when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you can really weep. And you can come to a place in your life and say, oh my, Solomon, what happened? Because he says that everything in life was the emptiness of life. He never found peace in his old age. He never got it together. He did not finish well. But he ended up reigning for 40 years and then he died. Notice beginning with chapter 12, verse 1 now, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Now, Jeroboam, because we're going to see also there's going to be Jeroboam and Rehoboam, so we don't get confused. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. And Rehoboam was going to be appointed next king in line. And at the same time, we think about how when coming to Shechem in the Bible is a place that is associated with a person coming back and renewing his life to God. But he didn't renew his life to God. Shechem is a place like Bethel, the house of God, where the people of Israel were Jacob, and in the book of Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 5, coming back from his brother's house after 20 years of serving him and being lied to from Uncle Laban's house, meeting his brother after 20 years, thinking that his brother was coming with 400 men and thought he was going to kill him. But God had touched his life. That Jacob came to the place where he went back to Bethel, back to the house of God. And he took every idol that his sons and all the earrings and all of the pagan idolatry that the people of God already had been consumed by. And he asked everybody to drop them all in a bucket and to renew their lives to God and to get their hearts right with God. Shechem. Or Bethel, the house of God. God desires that we would renew our lives before Him daily. Daily come to the house of Bethel, to the house of the Lord, even as we're here tonight. And then at the same time here, you know, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. Listen, it's okay for him to become king, but what about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What about God? The people were pretty messed up too. People like priest. People like king. You see? And that's the way it'll be in your home. And that's the way it could be in a church. Why? Because the actual father, the actual leader of the home, is the one that sets the temperature in the home and sets the vision in the home for the whole family. That's why it's so important that if you have little ones, to really lead them and guide them and teach them by example. Because they're going to grow up pretty fast. And then they're going to make their own decisions. And if we can get to them while they're little and give them the right principles to the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God does not come back void. that those principles are there inserted in their hearts and in their minds. So that I always, if I don't understand something in the Bible, I always fall back on that which I do understand. You see? Very important thing to do. Because God wants to work. God wants to move. God wants to renew my life completely and fully every single day of my life. Israel already had a division going on between Judah and Israel. Judah was what? The southern kingdom of Israel. And Israel is the northern kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes. And Judah had 2 tribes. Judah lives in Jerusalem. And Israel goes up to Tel Dan over by the Sea of Galilee in the upper Galilee. And there they established their kingdom with Jeroboam. Notice, not Rehoboam. Rehoboam becomes the king of the south, and Jeroboam becomes the king of the north. And Jeroboam takes the people and the tribes and leads them over to the north. And what does he do? He establishes calf worship instead of Jehovah's worship. Why? Because he said, you guys were too far from Jerusalem. Instead of you guys going every Sabbath day, every festival, why don't we establish our own man religion? And that's what they did. They gave up the Lord to worship 2 golden calves. That King Jeroboam established in Tel Dan, up in the north of the Galilee. You'll see that in a moment here. Verse 2. And so it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. He was afraid he was going to be killed by Solomon. But now he's coming back. When he hears Solomon's died, Rehoboam, his son's going to take over the kingdom. So he comes now. And again, it's amazing. Because here in verse 3, look what it says. And they sent and called him. And then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, so those in the split kingdom of the north, where Jeroboam is going to rule, they come to talk with Rehoboam. They said, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. They were willing to submit themselves to him if he would change what Solomon their father was doing, and that's paying high taxes. He was overtaxing them and oppressing them. Look, if you can work it out, we will serve you. Verse 5. And then he said unto them, why don't you depart and come back in 3 days? And the people departed. And then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, notice, here's the old guys that have been around. They know God. They know Solomon, they've seen it all in their old age, and Rehoboam comes to them and is asking them, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. They'll love you. Good, good advice. You know, I find that today, there is something that is missing, because it seems that a lot of times young people don't want to hear advice from the elder people. When I grew up many, many years ago, I can remember the respect that the elderly had. And I remember going to my grandma's, you know, for advice, because I thought they've lived long enough, they could tell me something that I don't know. I think it's always good if you know an elderly couple that serves the Lord and loves the Lord and they're really right on with God. I would go to them before I would go to anybody else, because they already live life. And you know you're going to get good counsel. counsel. That's the way Grandma Kopp was, Sharon's grandmother. Incredible woman. In her remaining days of life, she used to have a little house and she used to sit on this chair because she couldn't do anything. And she sat by a window all day long reading her Bible and guess what? Intercessory prayer. She's the one that prayed me in. Just prayed. And I remember starting the ministry, I used to go to her, spend a lot of hours with her, talking with her, praying with her. And she would lay hands on me and she would pray for me. And we had some incredible days together going back into the ministry. She was godly. And I think it's really important because I can look back now in her godly counsel and of course with Sharon's mother and Sharon's father, because they've been missionaries all their lives, been in the Lord all their lives, where my parents were not in the Lord, you see, until later on in life. And so when you really have to make some real heavy decisions in your home, in the ministry, or whatever you're doing, surely you want to get good counsel from the godly, not from the ungodly. Jeroboam did not take the counsel of the godly. Listen to what he says. He says, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. He went to his friends that he grew up with. They had no experience. And he got counsel from them. And he said unto them, what advice do you guys give me? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, where areas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. It was the whip with metal that you could get whipped. Good counsel? Don't think so. You know, sometimes when a church has been in existence a long time, there are times when the changing of the guard comes too, where they begin to bring in the young, you know, the young council in, and of course you need to have the young council for sure. But I've seen so many times that when you choose the wrong council, and they come into a place of leadership, especially in the house of the Lord, listen, they have their own ideas, they have their own vision, and what happens if they don't take the counsel of the godly and the elderly, listen, it will not work. It will bring a division. You'll have two camps instead of one camp. And what will happen is you'll end up hurting a lot of people. Because the sheep follow their shepherd. You see? And I've seen it happen over and over and over where young people come in and they're zealous and they want to change this and change that. And they kind of ignore the elderly and just kind of move them out of the way and they kind of take over without having any experience or wisdom of God in their lives. And instead of helping the church, they destroy the church. God help us. In the future to come, even in our own church, to be wise in the decisions that we make when it comes to the things of God, including the things in your own personal lives, that you get the right counsel from the right people, because it will cost you. Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me on the third day. And then the king answered the people roughly. Notice, he wasn't even loving and kind. Proudful, mad, and rejected the advice which the elders had given to him. And then he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." And so the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord has spoken by Abijah the Shulamite, the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Hey, did you hear what he said there? That even though the young people and the elderly gave the counsel, the whole time, who was in control? The Lord. The Lord. The Lord was going to give them a person that would oppress them. They had turned away from the Lord. God's always in control. Believe it or not, every situation that we are in, God is in control. His sovereignty is always there. God is sovereign. We're not in control. He's in control. You see? And a lot of times, because we don't understand the sovereignty of God, we become bitter and say, "Well, why would God allow that to happen? Or why would God do that?" Hey, God knows best what's best for my life. And if the Lord allows you to be chastened, or allows you to go through a tragedy, know one thing: God never lets you go. He'll get you through, but he's trying to teach you something. And the problem sometimes is we're not listening to what he's saying. Right here it says that God was in control. He says, "For the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite, the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat." Now you see, with these words that he gives here, it's literally that God not only already had made up his mind what he was going to do, because he's God. He knows what's best for us. So as God begins to turn the clock, as God begins to turn the events, verse 16, "Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king and said, 'What share have we in David?'" Now they rebel. Hey, what do we have with David now? "We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now. See to your own house, O David." So Israel departed to their tents. Notice that. Here now the northern kingdom of Israel being led by Jeroboam. But Rehoboam reign over the children of Israel who dwell in the cities of Judah in Jerusalem. And the king Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue, but all Israel stoned him with stones and he died. They were so mad they stoned him to death. They didn't even receive him. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariots in a haste to flee to Jerusalem. He was on his way. And so Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David till this day. And here is what happens. The northern kingdom of Israel rebels. They leave Jerusalem. They go up to Tel Dan. And they're there until 722 BC. And we'll see that in 2 Kings, or 1 Kings 17. We'll get to that. Where God not only gets fed up with the northern kingdom of Israel after 160 years of warning them to repent of worshiping other gods, especially the golden calves. But what God does is God uses Assyria to come down and invade the northern kingdom of Israel, and the Assyrians were the worst that you would ever want to deal with. Jonah met them, and Isaiah the prophet met them. And listen, whenever the Assyrians were coming to a town to attack, most of the women and children and men committed suicide than to be taken captive by the Assyrians. Why? Because when they came into the town, and the first thing they would do is they would choose all of the families together and put them together and then separate them, strip them from all their clothes and shame them in true nakedness. And then they would take and they would cut an arm off or pluck an eye or an ear or a leg, or buried them up to their nostrils, or they would take a hook, a fish hook, and get the bottom of the lip piercing and pierce it and put it through and then lead them into captivity. The Assyrians. The Assyrians came in 722 BC and they took the northern part of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and led them into captivity and killed so many of them. And those that were left behind, that stayed behind in the area there of Tel Dan, they intermarried with the Assyrians. The Jews intermarried with the Assyrians. And what happened through that, you have what you call the Samaritans. Remember John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman? There's only 200 alive today because they intermarried in themselves. And what's incredible is that here, the Samaritans and the Jews never got along. Never got along. And it started way back in 722 BC. When the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into captivity. And then later on, Judah would be also judged by the Lord. They did not learn their lessons from their own sister and brothers. But they continued to sin against God. Watch what else happens. Again, in verse 19. And so Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David till this day. And now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. And there was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. You see, the two tribes. The other 10, no way. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin and 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Notice that. He wants to restore it. But the word of the Lord came to Shimei, the man of God, saying to the prophet, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Notice who's in control. Not Rehoboam, not Jeroboam, but God. He said, Solomon, king of Judah, to all Israel, Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord God. Notice. You shall not go up nor fight against your brothers, the children of Israel. They're your family. Let every man return to his own house, for this thing is from me. And therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord, turned back according to the word of the Lord. And then Jeroboam built Shechem, notice, in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And also he went out from there to build in Penuel. So here he listens to the word of the Lord as God speaks. Verse 26. And Jeroboam now said in his heart, the king of the north, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of these people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So here he's reasoning the whole thing out. Look, I got 10 tribes. I don't want them going to Jerusalem because if they go to worship, you know, they may turn on me and stay in Jerusalem and never come back. So what I will do is I will have my own worship services. So what does he do? Verse 28. Therefore, the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and he said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too far. You don't want to go up there. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. I mean, how could they believe that when already God has condemned that with who? With Aaron, the brother of Moses. When the earth opened up and swallowed up 23,000. How come they don't learn? They have the word of God. They don't learn. Sometimes as believers, we don't learn the things that we already read. They're written for our examples here. Even here we see it in the book of Kings here. It's so sad that people have to learn the hard way. The sadness of idol worship here. Verse 29. And he set up one in Bethel. Remember what Bethel means? 15 to 20 miles away from Jerusalem, the house of God. And the other one he put in Dan. So he had two places of worship. One in Bethel and one in Dan. Up in the upper Galilee. And now this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places, made priests for every class of people who are not the sons of Levi. And what did God say in his word? The only people that can be in the priesthood are from the house of Levi. He's already breaking every rule, moving away from the word of God. Notice that. Moving into judgment. How sad. Verse 32. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th day of the month, like the feast that was in Judea, and offered sacrifices on the altar. Instead of going, you know, a month earlier, he makes it a month later so the people can worship, so they don't have to go to Jerusalem. He's even changing the feast days. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. And so he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. Notice that he made his own religion. Made man religion becomes what? A snare. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense to them. Chapter 13. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Notice that even though there is sin against God, what does God do? His love, His grace and mercy, He sends them prophets to seal the repent, warning them. And then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah, by name, shall be born to the house of David. On you he shall sacrifice the priests and the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. What is he doing? He's prophesying that Josiah would be born. He's prophesying 300 years later, Josiah was born. Just as God's word said it would happen. Just as he said it would happen. Watch this. And then he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign of the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Notice the prophecy. And so it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the men of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar saying, arrest him. And then his hand, notice, which he stretched out towards him, withered so that it became what? It couldn't be pulled back anymore. It shriveled up. Can you imagine being a prophet today like that? What you say? You know? I mean, imagine that, the power that God gave to these prophets. His hand shriveled up. Imagine that, God's fulfilling His word, just like He said. And then check this out, verse 5. And the altar also, what? Split apart. And the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the men of God had given by the word of the Lord. I love it. The prophet always speaks 100% clear. Always speaks clear. It comes to pass. If somebody comes to you and says, thus says the Lord told me to tell you, listen, God can speak to you. You don't really need anybody to tell you that the Lord told you. But if He does come to you and says, the Lord told me to tell you, guess what? You don't do what they say. You wait on the Lord and wait for the word of God to be verified. If He's a true prophet of God, let's see it come to pass. And if not, pick up stones, because He's a false prophet. In the Old Testament, they did that. Verse 6. And then the king answered and said to the men of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. Notice, your God, not my God. How sad. Underline the word your God. Notice that. And pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. There was a little softness there when he saw his hand withered away. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. And then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Now listen, there's no change of heart yet. But he's doing what? He's saying to the prophet, hey, why don't you come home? I'll give you food, and then I'll pay you off. Hey, listen, men of God are not paid off. You can't pay a man of God off. Listen to what he says. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half of your house, I would not go with you. Nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Why? Because God spoke. God told him, don't stay, don't eat. Move on. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came. Now listen, this is really important. This is the Old Testament, and we live in the New Testament. And they're not both different testaments, they're the same testaments. It is very important to understand that when God speaks, we must obey. Must obey. Why do you say that? You'll see. Verse 10. And so he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. So he started to do what God said. He leaves. And now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. And his son came and told him all the work that the men of God had done that day in Bethel. And they also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the men of God had gone from Judah. And then he said to his sons, hey, saddle my donkey for me. And so they saddled his donkey for him and he rode on. And then he went after the men of God and found him sitting under an oak. And then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said to him, come home with me to eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go anywhere with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there nor return by going the way you came. Check this out. Then he said to him, I am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. And he was lying to him. And guess what? The prophet believed him. He didn't check with the word of God. What did Paul say in Galatians 1, 8 to 9? Even if an angel from heaven comes to you, let him be accursed. We don't believe angels. We only believe God, and we believe His Word. You see? There are so many times people will come in the name of the Lord to tell you things. Be careful. Be careful. We should not listen to men, but we should determine, or we should discern, to make sure that it is the Word of the Lord that is speaking through that person. Why? Because this old prophet contradicted the word of God. You see? He contradicted it. And that young prophet never checked with the Lord. You have to judge it by the word. If I don't see it in the word of God, I'm sorry, I can't receive it. There was years ago, there was an old pastor that was having visitations by the angels. And were giving him messages. And he even wrote a book. And everybody got so excited. Angels coming into his bedroom and speaking to him and giving him these messages. The problem is that the messages contradicted the word of God. You see? You can't believe that. You can only believe the one book, the Bible. The Bible. An old saint was dying and said to his son, son, give me the book. And his son said, Dad, there's so many books. He says, oh no, there's only one book, the Bible. Give me the book. The Word of God is the only thing we can believe. And you got to check it. You got to check the Word of God. That's why we read. That's why we study. That's why we go from Genesis to Revelation. So we can get the full counsel of God. Look what he says. And so he went back with him. And he ate bread in his house and drank water with him. And now it came to pass, as they sat at the table, check this out, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Watch this, God's going to speak now. And he cried out to the men of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, and have not kept the commandments which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water in this place which the Lord said to you not to do it. Don't eat bread. Don't drink water. Your corpse shall not come," notice, "to the tomb of your fathers." So it was. After he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, he saddled his donkey for him and the prophet who he had brought back. And when he was gone, guess what God did? He prepared a lion that rolled up on him and killed him and ate him. Notice this. And his corpse, what happened? A lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood by the lion. And the lion also stood by the corpse. Notice that. The moral of the story is what? We better listen to what God has to say, not to men. It could cost you deeply if you're not careful who you're listening to. Verse 25. And there the men passed by and saw the corpse thrown in the road, and the lion standing by the corpse. And then they went and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet who had brought him back from the north heard it, he said, "Is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord? Therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he has spoken to him." And then he spoke to his son, saying, "Saddle the donkeys for me." And so they saddled it. And then he went and he found the corpse thrown onto the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. Can you imagine what a picture that is? A donkey, the lion, and the prophet dead. And the lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God. He laid it on the donkey and brought it back. And so the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And then he laid the corpse on his own tomb. And they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And so it was after he had buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the same which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the city of Samaria will surely come to pass." Notice, God's word will be fulfilled. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. Can you believe that? He did not turn. You know, sometimes there are people, they will see miracle after miracle after miracle, and God will work tremendous things in their life, and they still won't turn. They still won't turn. And there are probably some of your children, some of your daughters, some of your nephews, some of your nieces, that probably in this life will be like Jeroboam, that even though they had instruction in the word of God and they've grown up in the ways of the Lord, because they have a will, they probably go their own ways, and there will be someone that will perish eternally. That's what the Bible says. All you can do is pray for your sons. Pray for your daughters, but make them understand one thing. They have a will. And all we can do is pray faithfully to the Lord that God will be merciful to our children and to our grandchildren. Very important. But again, he did evil. And again, he made priests from every class of people, from the common people, for the high places. Whoever wishes, he consecrated him. And he came one with the priest in the high place. Hey, listen, in the Old Testament, to become a priest, you had to be born in that tribe. And then there was the anointing and the calling and the ordination of God. He just said, "Hey, you want to be a priest? Come on, I'll consecrate you." What did God do? Verse 34. And this thing was a sin in the house of Jeroboam, so as to exterminate and to destroy it from the face of the earth. God judged it. Notice that. Chapter 14, verse 1. And at that time, Abijah, the prophet, he's an old man now. Remember the guy that prophesied? He's an old man now. The son of Jeroboam became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Hey, please arise and disguise yourself that he may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam and go to Shiloh, the place of worship at one time. Indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there who told me that I would be king over this people. Also take with you 10 loaves of bread, some cakes, a jar of honey, and go to him and he will tell you what will become of my child." The child was sick, his son. Sick. Go out, go find out what's going to happen. Go ask the prophet. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and she arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah, listen, could not see. He was totally blind, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. And now, what has happened? The Lord spoke to him before she came to Abijah and said, "Listen, here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shall you say to her, and it will be that when she comes in, she will pretend to be another woman." Can you believe that? God spoke to him already, prepared him. Like Ananias and Sapphira lying to Peter, the Holy Spirit said, "You're lying." Hey, listen, God can speak. Look, with your children, and this is no secret, if you're godly and you're really walking with God and following God and you're trying to do what God tells you to do, you could pray and God could speak to you what your children are doing and you can blow them away. Because they don't know, how do you know? The Lord told me. Through prayer. It happened to me with my wife. Many, many, many years ago, I was a heathen. And I had come home, I was in a huge fight and I had blood all over me. My shirt was all bloody. Everything was dark in the house, and I was kind of sneaking in, you know. And my wife heard me come in, and she stood up from her bed, and she said, "Raul, tonight I had a dream, and God showed me that this happened, and this happened to happen." And I go, "Do you have a detective following me?" Because it was right on. And what happened is she had been praying, and the Lord showed her just like this prophet. God can show you things. God can show you things you never thought that you could actually see according to the word of God. Watch this. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door and said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam." She must have blown her mind. "Why do you pretend to be another person?" Whoa! She hasn't even spoken yet. "For I have sent to you with bad news." Notice, "I have been sent to you with bad news." What I got to tell you, woman, you're not going to like. Number one, go tell Jeroboam your husband, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because I, God, exalted you from among the people." Listen, who promotes you? It's the Lord. And who takes you down? It's the Lord. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been my servant David." Notice, as my servant David, you're not a godly person. "Who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes." Notice Jeroboam, man, gave it all up. "But you have done more evil than all who were before you. For you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and have cast me behind your back." Whoa. "Cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, check this out, I will bring disaster on your house, O Jeroboam. And I will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond free. And I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away the refuse until it is all gone. And then what? And then the dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken it. Whoa, what a... Can you imagine hearing that from the Lord? Judgment, not mercy. Arise, get up, therefore, and go to your own house now. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. Notice, God's not going to heal him. And all Israel shall mourn for him. Bury him. For he, check this out, for he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Wow. Sometimes the parents don't serve the Lord, but the children do. Interesting. Watch this. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam in this day, what, even now? For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed that is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from the good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. What's that? 722, the Assyrians were used to come down and destroy them and take them into captivity, just as God said it would happen. And he will give Israel up because of the sin of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel to sin. Then Jeroboam's wife got up, departed, and came to Tirzra, where she came to the household of the house of the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord which was spoken to the servant Ahijah the prophet. And now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Now we have first and second Chronicles, which speaks of Judah and Israel, but we do not have the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. That's an amazing book. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. And so he rested with his father, and then Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. And then Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, now we're in the south, reigned in Judah. And Rehoboam was, notice, 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, in the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. He put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. And now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed more than all their fathers had done. So they don't learn. They did not learn from the north, and now the south is not learning. They're all into idolatry. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. And they were also perverted persons in the land. That word perverted person means they were homosexuals. That's what the word is there. And they did according to all the abomination of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass on the fifth year of King Rehoboam, and Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Notice God uses the Egyptians to come now and chastise. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. You know, when you're not serving the Lord and you're serving other gods, God will take everything from you. He'll strip you from everything to get your attention. Then the king Rehoboam made bronze shields, less value now, in their place, and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard, who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, and they brought back into the guard room. And now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicle of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And so Rehoboam rested not with his fathers, and was buried in his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitess, and then Abijam the son reigned in his place. So we now see a digression. As we begin to see now the nation of Israel, now judged, now Judah will take place now. in the next couple of weeks to come now. Father, we come before you, Lord God, asking you that you would help us to learn from these incredible lessons, Father, how we need to listen to the word of the Lord and not to the word of men. Father, we pray that as leaders of our homes, we would love our wives and love our children. And Father, those that are single and unmarried yet, they would consecrate their lives to you. Father, we pray for all the church around the world, Father. Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us and speak to us, Father, mightily, Lord God. Even as we study line upon line and precept upon precept, Lord God, going through the whole Bible, Jesus. Lord, we pray if there's anybody here tonight that is not a believer. Or Lord, maybe they are believers, but they haven't been walking with you, Lord God. Maybe they put you behind their backs. Father, I pray that you would deal with each one of us individually. Lord, we want to do what your word says. We want to be obedient, no matter what the cost may be, Lord. Father, strengthen us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make yourself real to us tonight, Father, as we believe through faith in you, Lord God. And if there's anybody here tonight, young or old, whoever you are, male, female, and you would like to receive and give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, or maybe even renewing your life to God tonight, this is the time to do it. We're going to worship. And as we worship, you get up and you come as God speaks to your heart. And Lord God, we thank you for these that have come. We pray that you touch, that you anoint, Lord. If you're not a believer, we're going to pray this prayer. I want you to repeat with me this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart this evening, okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me and wash me by your blood. And I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.